Alaba Girivara Dari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjali Harida Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjali Harida Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjali Hari Madhava Kunjali Hari
Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Puri Vijakacharya Stavrasata Sri Srimad in Divine Grace of Aichana Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sekha Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanand Sri Raita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaurava Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Chamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Gangamai Ki Jai Sri Jamunamai Ki Jai Sri Matadulsi Devi Narayani Ki Jai Is the Van Goration of Prabhupada Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Radhisham Sundar Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Gaurikai Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishimadev Ki Jai, Iskandu Ramanati Dham Ki Jai, and Pegau Primanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru Gangaram. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 25, entitled Three Modes and Beyond. And we'll be doing four verses, without any purport. We'll be reading verses 16 through 19. So verse 16 we can do responsibly, and the other three we can do simultaneously. So 16.
Yada chitam prasideta indriyanam cha nirvritihi dehidayam manasangam tat satvam vidimat padam yada chitam prasideta Indriyanam cha nivritihi Dehibayam manasangam Tat satvam vidimat padam Yada chitam prasideta Indriyanam na nivritihi Dehibayam manasangam Tat satvam vidimat padam Yata chittam prasideta Indriyanam cha nivritihi Dehibayam manasangam Tat satvam vidimat padam Yada chitam prasideta Indriyanam cha nivritihi Dehibayam manasangam Tat satvam vidimat padam Yada chittam prasideta Indriyanam cha nivritihi Dehibayam manasangam Tat satvam vidimat padam
Ladies
Yada chittam prasideta Indriyanam cha nivritihi Dehibayam manasangam Tat satvam vidimat padam Yada chittam prasideta Indriyanam cha nivritihi Dehibayam manasangam Tat satvam vidimat padam Yada chittam prasideta Indriyanam cha nivritihi Dehibayam manasangam Mat satvam vidimat padam Yada chittam prasideta
Indriyanam Chanivriti Dehirdayam Mano Sangam Tat Satvam Vidimat Padam Yadachittam Prasideta Indriyanam Chanivriti Dehe Vaya Mano Sangam Tat Satvam Vidimat Padam Yadachittam Prasideta Indriyanam Chanivriti Dehe Vaya Mano Sangam Tat Satvam Vidimat Padam.
We'll do the word for word.
Yada,
yada.
When.
Chittam,
chittam.
The consciousness.
Prasideta
becomes clear.
Indriyanam
of the senses.
Cha,
and.
Nivrittihi,
cessation of their mundane activities.
Dehe,
in the body.
Abhayam,
fearlessness.
Manaha,
of the mind.
Asangam,
detachment.
Tat,
that.
Satvam,
the mode of goodness.
Vidi,
know it.
Mat,
realization
of me.
Padam,
the situation in which such can be achieved.
Translation
by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Śrīla Śrīdhaktivedanta Swami
Prabhupāda.
When consciousness becomes clear and the senses are detached from matter, one experiences fearlessness within the material body and detachment from the material mind. You should understand this situation to be the predominance of the mode of goodness in which one has the opportunity to realize me.
So same thing we can do together.
Vikurvan priyaya chadhir anivritis chache sasam gatras vastyam mano brantam raja eter nishamaya.
You should discern
the mode of passion by its symptoms.
The distortion of the intelligence because of too much activity.
The inability of the perceiving senses to disentangle themselves from mundane objects.
An unhealthy condition of the working physical organs
and the unsteady perplexity of the mind.
18.
Siddhachittam viliyeta cetaso grahaneksanam manonastam tamoglanis tamastadupadavaya.
When one's heart awareness fails and finally disappears, and one is thus unable to concentrate his attention, his mind is ruined and manifests ignorance and depression.
You should understand this situation to be the predominance of the mode of ignorance.
And 19.
Edamane gune sattve de
ishante
asuram cha rajasi tamasuda varakshanam.
With the increase of the mode of goodness, the strength of the demigods similarly increases.
When passion increases,
the demoniac becomes strong.
And with the rise of ignorance,
O Uddhava,
the strength of the most wicked increases. Om Gyana Timrandasya Gyana Jana Shalakya Chakshura Mithami Anitasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vipulaya Shumati Shula Gurao Prabhuti Namine
Sri Sri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pakajadaya Neprabhupada Nupadaya Namah Sri Guru Bhavi Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavati Pascha Jayasha Dharma
Hare Krishna. So, as we all know, the Bhagavad Gita is a conversation and instruction by Lord Krishna to his very dear friend and devotee, Arjuna. We all know that, right? Is that correct? So that conversation, Krishna gives many instructions. And he is repeating many of those instructions in this part of the Bhagavatam. This time he is speaking to another of his great devotee, Uddhava. And many of these instructions repeat itself. They may take a little bit of a different angle, but basically, on the most part, they are the same. And especially in this part of the Bhagavatam. So basically, Krishna is telling his dear devotee, Uddhava, he's giving him an idea of the composition of this material world. So this chapter, what we're studying, basically talks about that. So that's just to give a background as to what we are discussing here today. And it's called the Three Modes and Beyond. So the topic itself is very interesting. Talk about the three modes and then beyond. So what goes beyond? Of course, in today's class, that's not the scope of our discussion, but we might touch on it a little bit. So we are having four verses. The first verse talks about the mode of goodness. So Krishna is categorizing activities in this material world. So what he does, he explains that every activity performed in this world are basically performed in three modes or in three categories. And we all know what those are. It's the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. And in their pure state, that's what they are, these three basic categories. But then sometimes these categories get mixed. Just like, for example, you have the three primary colors. You study that in school, right? Three primary colors. Do we know what those are? What are they?
Yes.
That's one, red.
Yellow.
What's the third one? Blue. Okay. Is that correct? I forgot my school days. Red, yellow, and blue. Okay. So if you mix red and yellow, what do you get? You get orange, right? So similarly, if you mix two of the other colors, then you get a third shade comes up. And then if you mix that, then more, so then it expands, and Srila Prabhupada talks about this. Similarly, with the modes of nature, like you have the three basic modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and then if you mix them, three times three you get nine, and then you mix those nine times nine, you get 81, and it keeps going, and you get all a whole complicated mass. So anyway, we're not going to get into that today, but basically we want to talk about the basic three modes of material nature. So in the first verse 16, Krishna describes, gives some symptoms of one who is acting in the mode of goodness. Verse 17, the second one, he describes the symptoms of one in the mode of passion. And the third, 18, he describes one in the mode of ignorance. And then 19, he just gives a summary of the three modes in one verse. So I thought what I can do, I can start from verse 18, the mode of ignorance, and then work our way up. So we can do that, and so I'll repeat verse 18 here. says when one's higher awareness fails and finally disappears, and one is thus unable to concentrate his attention, his mind is ruled and manifests ignorance and depression. You should understand this situation to be the predominance of the mode of ignorance. So sometimes when we use the word ignorance, it sounds like pretty bad and pretty gross. But we should understand that it is not bad. It's not like a bad thing at all. Basically, ignorance means a lack of knowledge. So if you use it in this way, then it sounds pretty nice. Is that correct? Yeah, so it sounds pretty nice when you use it in this way. That is basically a lack of knowledge. Or it's a lack of enlightenment. Just like on the Back to God it magazine, what does it say on top, the logo, on the cover? Say that aloud. Yes, God that is light, nations is darkness. So, and is there something else under that? In the early magazines, there is something under that, that where there is light. Yes, there it is. So basically, that's what darkness is, or ignorance is, just the absence of knowledge. One way we can see this, and we can understand, is like if we have a room with wooden windows and it's all locked up, and there's no lighting in there, what would happen? What would the room be like? You want to know? Imagine a dark room. In a room all locked up, there is no lighting in there, there is no, all the doors are closed, then what would be in that room? Darkness, okay, it would all be darkness. Now, so how do we get some lighting to there? We have to bring some either open the windows or put a light on or something. So can you imagine that if the natural, you know, the natural state of that room, when it's all locked up, the natural state is darkness. Wouldn't that be nice if the natural state was light? You know, if you just have a room all locked up, no sources, but then it's just light in there. No, it's always dark. And how do we dissipate that darkness? By bringing light into it. So the natural state is darkness, right? So that is just the constitutional position of this material world. So lack of knowledge, lack of enlightenment, that's just like the base state. Just like you're all going to school, or we see like a baby born. The baby doesn't know how to talk, he doesn't know how to walk, he doesn't know how to explain itself. And it's just a natural state in this world. So then it's learning. Or like you're all going to school. Why are you going to school? You're going to learn something. Is that correct? You're going to get knowledge. Is there any case that one born with knowledge and then goes to school to take that knowledge away? Excepting for the gopis, right? The gopis, they are trying to forget Krishna. You know, they're trying to forget Krishna. But a natural state in the spiritual world is that they always remember Krishna. But here, it's the opposite. We don't have knowledge of him, or we don't have knowledge of anything. So we're going to learn. So this is the state of ignorance, as you can say, that it's a lack of knowledge. So when one is in lack of knowledge, then one becomes depressed, one becomes frustrated, doesn't know which direction to turn, just like in this dark room, what we talked about. Suppose somebody blindfold you and then bring you into this dark room, and then they come outside, lock the door, and they tell you, now take off your blindfold and make your way out. When you take off your blindfold, it's all dark. You have no knowledge. You have never seen this room before. You have no knowledge as to what actually, where to go, where to turn. But if somebody come and just flick the switch, then you can see everything. It becomes very clear. It becomes knowledge automatically comes to you. Here is the door, that's the window, this is the way out. I turn to the right instead of going to the left and bump my head into the wall. You know, things like that. So this is when one is described, when one is in this state, then that's basically described as the mode of ignorance, that we do not have the knowledge to understand how to function. So therefore, it is others' duties or their duty to try to learn how to function in a better way. So in a nutshell, that's what ignorance is, basically the lack of something that is of a higher purpose. And then we can come to the second, from the bottom here, verse 17. Says, you should discern the mode of passion by its symptoms. And those are the distortion of the intelligence because of too much activity, the inability of the perceiving senses to disentangle themselves from mundane objects, an unhealthy condition of the working physical organs, and the unsteady perplexity of the mind. So basically what this is saying, that the symptoms of one in the mode of passion is that they are always looking for some results in every work that they do. That even if they worship the Lord, the first thought that comes to mind, what result do I get? What benefit do I get? What's in it for me? I think this is a normal thing in America. In any situation in the material world, what's in it for me? Where do I get my benefit? Is that correct? So that's how businesses goes on. That's how everything goes on. I remember once one company, I asked them to donate some property to the temple. And the first thing he said, well, what benefit would I derive? Where would you put up my name to show that, you know, I donated, you know, so I put my name in the papers, I donated to the Hare Krishna movement. What would you do? So I said, yes, we can do that, but your main benefit is that you're going to get a lot of blessings, and you're going to get purified, even though you might not feel it right away, but your consciousness will develop. And he said, you know, it sounds like magic as you're talking, it sounds like a different language, but as you're speaking, I can kind of sense something that, yes, there is some benefit. So that's the first thing they think, how can I benefit? Or even when one is working, engaged in some business or something, that's the first thing they think. What's in it for me? Where can I benefit? How can I gain something out of this? So anyone who is looking for those activities are described to be in a mode of passion. They cannot do something selflessly to just give. So they always want something in return. So this nature is there. And because of that, they get very busy. So when you get very busy to try to get some gain, there's a saying in Guyana that when a bird flies too fast, it flies past its nest. So basically, when you get so absorbed in the passion of trying to gain something material, then sometimes you miss the goal, or you may miss the goal of spiritual life, or even miss your own goal because you got so caught up into it. So this is the nature of passion, gets you in an aggression and just try to go for it beyond breaks. And like in Guyana also, there's a saying that little boys' bicycles have no brakes. In other words, we're so excited that we just go with such speed. I remember once I got myself in trouble and I had to walk to school. So it was about a mile or a mile and a half. So I had to walk, go to school, and walk back to come for lunch, and walk back again. So finally, after some time, I was able to get a bicycle. My brother helped me to get a bicycle. So I was so excited that now I have a bicycle and I can ride. And of course, it was just an old bike that we repaired and it had no brakes on it. So my first day at school, I was so excited in my bicycle that I ran into this one girl over. I almost got suspended. So sometimes, with this eager passion, these things happen. So those are some activities in a mode of passion, and there are many more, but we can move on here. So on 16, the mode of goodness is described. At when consciousness becomes clear and the senses are detached from matter, one experiences fearlessness within the material body and detachment from the material mind. You should understand this situation to be the predominance of the mode of goodness in which one has the opportunity to realize me. So when one acts in this mode of goodness, then there are several things that come with it. Like patience, humility, one applies his intelligence more, one thinks more, and do less per se. One actually analyzes the situation about their activities. Or sometimes others do that for them, or others help them. Have you ever reached a situation where you see your friend or somebody do something and you thought, why did he do that? What was he thinking about when he performed that activity? So this happens in different ways. Sometimes when one acts in a negative way, you're thinking, well, he could have done better. Or when one acts in a nice way, compassionate, or do something good for others, you thought that was a very nice thing to do. So in this way, one should analyze one's activities. And Krishna talked about this in Bhagavad Gita, that one should be an introspective sage, that one should always introspect one's activities as one performs them. And this is the basis of our Krishna consciousness movement: simple living and high thinking. Material life is the opposite: high living and simple thinking. I know, actually, last week my boss and his son decided they're going to go. They're rich folks, so they went to Canada on a hunting trip. So for weeks they were planning buying all sorts of very expensive winter hunter suit and whatever, and all day that's what their topics are. They bought this, so many hundreds of dollars, and thousands of dollars, a ticket for accommodation, blah blah blah. Anyway, so they went to Canada, and three days after he came back, so I asked what happened. So he said, Raj, that's what they call me on the outside world. Instead of Dharma Raj, sad story. He said, I spent all that money, thousands of dollars, and when I went there, they had us wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I said, that's good, that's when we wake up for RT too. He said, because he knows of our movement quite a bit, he knows some of our activities. So he said, now what, have us wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And we had to go out in this freezing cold weather, 8 degrees. We have to lie on our backs, because it's a whole team, and they have monitors for them. They had to lie on their backs for like three hours, looking up in the sky with their gun to see when the ducks are passing to shoot them. He said he was so freezing and so miserable that he told them that this is miserable life. So he came back, so I said, did you get back some of your money? He said, no. So this is what some life can be like. It was pretty awful that they're thinking, we're going to go and sport. High life, we're going to spend so much money we can afford. But no thinking, no compassion. Well, okay, we are going to shoot these animals. Or this is not going to work out. You're living in Florida. I'm going all the way to Canada in this time of the year. What's going to happen? It's just not going to work. So that is one thing of high living and simple thinking. But a devotee's life is the opposite. And when one starts thinking in a positive way, in a rational way, then one actually comes to the mode of goodness, and this is what Krishna is describing here. So different qualities develop, which we should develop these different qualities. So whenever we look and we see our friends or someone else is doing something that may appear to be bad, and we look at it, you know, we look at it, we should also try to help that person. At the same time, we should try to help ourselves. So with this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, and we all know who he is, right? Srila Prabhupada here. He explains his philosophy by the sign of his hand. You know, does anyone know this philosophy of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj? Pointing one finger forward, and what you're doing? You're pointing three back to yourself. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that when you're looking, when you see a fault in someone else, look within yourself that maybe you have three times as much as that fault. So it's not that we shouldn't see, but when we look around, it helps us to help others and help ourselves too. So in his, he had some special prayers, and one of them is called the Daso Ashmi prayer. And here's what he says in this regard. Says, look within and mend yourself rather than pry into the frailties of others. In this world of Maya, averse to the lure, full of trials and tribulations, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends of Hari Bhajan. Hari Bhajan is basically devotional service. When faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience, introspect, find faults in yourself, and know that others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. This is actually a plaque I got by one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. He realized, well, I need a lot of rectification, so he gave me this gift. So I have it in my home office. And needless to say, I'm always afraid to look at it, because once I look at it, I feel a guilt that I have to develop these qualities, so I'm always kind of afraid to look at it. So anyway, but these are the qualities that we have to develop, that when we're among our friends, we see how they act, and we learn from it. If somebody acts in a good way, we try to learn, let me also act in a good way. If somebody acts in a bad way, you look at it and you think, let me help to correct him, at the same time, let me not act in that bad way. So here is an example of the way one should not act or should not behave. And we have to develop these qualities of bringing oneself to a stage through the course of our activities. So Srila Prabhupada talks about this also, that in engaging in service, engaging in our activities, daily activities, the main aim should be to develop our consciousness through these activities. So we always analyze what we're doing, think what we have done wrong, how we can correct it, how we can do better the next time. So these are some of the basic activities that the mode of goodness helps us to do. That when one is situated in the mode of goodness, which we should all come to that level sometime or the other, that we should learn how to carry out these activities. So we should be compassionate. We should always learn to take a humble position. And when we mix those two, compassion and humility. You know, like how you add 1 plus 1 equals 2? Well, if you add compassion and humility, you get forgiveness. So it's nice to take a note of that. That compassion means, or to have a compassionate nature, means that you always feel concern about others. You always have a feeling for them, especially when they're in a suffering state. You know, when someone is suffering, they're ill or something, we have a feeling for them, we want to help, instead of trying to push them down. No, we want to help, we want to help them recover. So that's a compassionate nature, whether it's materially or spiritually. Like there's a saying, that there are two ways that one can act. One way is the crow's way, and the other way is the dolphin way. So the crow's way of behavior is that when you have all the crows flying and the crows are there together and one of them gets sick. What does the others do?
Do you know?
They attack that one and kill it. They try to suppress it. But the dolphin way, when the dolphin's there in the water and one gets sick or gets weak, the others go from the underside and lift him up and try to support it and nurse him back to health. So this is the way that the devotee should act. Use the dolphin method. Use that way of helping each other. So that is one aspect of compassion. And then once you develop the quality of humility, that means that one should have respect for others. The third verse of Lord Chaitanya's Shukshashtakam. That one should be more tolerant than a tree. One should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind. So we should develop these qualities: be more tolerant than a blade of grass, more humble than a tree. So when one sees this respect, becomes respectful to everyone else, and doesn't expect any respect for oneself, then that is a stage of humility. So this compassionate nature should be there, and this humble nature should be there. So when we combine these two natures, then the result can be forgiveness. Then we would be able to forgive others for whatever offenses they may commit to you or to anyone else. So these are some of the qualities that one can learn to develop. I remember when I was a little boy, once my sister sent me into her lady purse to get something. So I saw her bubble gum and I stole it. So then, two years after, I said, can I go into your purse to get it? She said, no. I said, why not? She said, two years ago, I sent you in my purse and you stole my bubble gum. So I said, but that's two years ago. Did you forget that? She said, no. She said, I forgive, but I don't forget. I was about six or seven years old and I never forgot that. I didn't know what it means. Now I'm kind of learning, but it's very important that a devotee forgive, but we should not forget. You know, we don't forget what happened in the past, and that way we become strong to go forward. So these qualities one should learn to develop, and this is what Krishna is talking about here. Of course, going beyond this scope of our discussion today, but at least this mode that one should learn to move from this mode of darkness, gain proper knowledge with proper guidance and proper association. Just like all of you kids are there in the school. What better atmosphere could we ask for? It's all devotional service, you're learning academic education, but you're being guided with the spiritual light as well. So that's a very, very wonderful situation. We should all say a very big thank you to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai for creating this situation. Sometimes me and my brother would argue, what would life have been if we were born devotees and we were little, have all this opportunity. So when we were almost adults and we became devotees, we realized so many years have passed and we haven't had an opportunity like what we're having now. So anyway, these are some of the discussions of this verse that we can learn to observe in our daily lives. And this is practical things. This really has nothing to do with philosophy. It's very practical, basic moral culture that every human being should develop. It has nothing to do with big, you know, Hare Krishna philosophy or anything like that. It's just we should learn to develop these qualities. This is what human life is all about. To be compassionate, to be forgiving, to be mindful of other people, to be helpful, to engage, help engage everyone in God's service as much as possible. So I would like to stop here. Are there any comments or questions? Or corrections that one may have. Anyone would like to?
Yes.
Mother Bhagavati.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. That's a nice class. That point that you were making about your sister saying, I forgive, but I don't forget. It's good advice. And on at least one occasion, I remember reading that Srila Prabhupada wrote in a letter to a Grihastha couple that was arguing a lot. In that context, in that time, he said, forgive and forget. Otherwise, how can we live?
Well. You know, it has the other side also, is that, in other words, when you forget, my understanding is that, you know, you kind of take it out from your heart. You know, you take out, well, the bad things that went on from your heart. But on the other hand, is that it makes you conscious from a transcendental platform. It makes you conscious that, okay, you know, acting in this way that I just did, you know, wasn't good. Because even though it's only the other party that you might think wrong, you're also wrong because you're in that situation. So one should always think that, okay, the next time I should try to act in a better way so that I don't even create this argumentative situation. So in that light, there's one little story I always remember too. One time Bhaktacharu Brahmachari then, he was outside of Srila Prabhupada's room. That might have been in Mayapur. At that time, Upendra Prabhu was his servant. And Bhaktacharya Maharaj was, Brahmacharya was the secretary. So for some reason, they developed an argument. So outside of their Prabhupada's room, they were arguing. So then Bhaktacharya Brahmacharya decided, well, I'm going to be the first to go in and complain to Prabhupada. That way, you know, he can be on my side. So he went in there, and as soon as he offered obeisances and he got up, Srila Prabhupada said that I have been at the window for the last 30 minutes looking at you two arguing. And he said then, Srila Prabhupada mentioned something to him that he never forget. You see, he said, the first sign of advancement is the how humble one becomes. So he said he never forgot that. That's a very, very important instruction. Needless to say, he said he never complained. He said that was the first time that he was about to complain to Srila Prabhupada, which he never had a chance to do, and he never complained after that. So that's very good, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Did you ever give your sister back the gum that you took?
Hare Krishna. No, that was 2 years ago.
You should give her back at least two pieces.
No, actually, it wasn't two. It was a little more story behind that. I asked her if she has any bubble gum. So she said, no, I only have one and I can't give you that. So then I went into her purse. I saw 10, so I said, okay, she said she had one, so I stole 9 of them. So when she said, what happened? I had 10, she said, I said, how can you say you had 10? You told me you had one, so how can you lose 9? So anyway, I guess I still owe her something because of that little knowledge she gave. Mataji, Mother Radhajivan? Yeah. Hold for a second, the microphone is coming.
I said, if you don't forget, are you really forgiving them?
It's a good topic of debate and conversation. I guess you can see things on different levels, on a material level or on a spiritual level. So at every step, one can analyze his own activity. And as one develops in Krishna consciousness, his memory actually sharpens. So when one's memory sharpens, then it's inevitable. It's like you can't avoid what you remember things. So it doesn't mean that you would remember and hold grudge against someone for it. Just that the knowledge is there. You know, so in that sense, you know, we can understand.
I forgive him, don't forget.
Right, in other words, once bitten, twice shy. She sent me in her purse, I stole all her gum, she's not going to do it again. It's not that she didn't forgive me for it, but she's not going to make that mistake again. So that was a sign of intelligence, you know, if that makes sense. Oh, Mother Prashad.
Thank you.
If I may say that success is based on failures, many failures is stepping stone to success. So I always understood that you learn a lesson to move on. You know. When you say you forget, you forgive, but you don't forget. I mean, the lesson has been learned, and then you move on. So with that comes all the forgiveness and the knowledge to move on.
Yeah, because if you forgot that experience, you may tend to draw back to it again. So that's why that knowledge is good, if that knowledge remains, and then you know, well, you shouldn't go back to that again. So does that make sense? Before you move on? Okay, the microphone is there, then we're going to come to Prabhu here. Mother Bhagavati.
Again on the mundane platform, but there's the saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So I should remember.
Exactly. Yeah. So one should remember. You know, it's and that remember takes on a different mode. That takes on a transcendental mode. Because if one, like in the mode of passion we were talking about in the second verse here today, it's always that one remembers and wants to be envious of that person, wants to cut them down. Just like in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demoniac qualities, the whole list of modes and activities in the mode of passion, you know, and this demoniac nature. I'll be the lord of everything. I'm going to dominate everyone. I'm going to try to control. I'm going to, you know. So those things are there. So when one switches and gets into the mode of goodness, he's not really bothered by those activities. Those may be there. So devotee life just runs parallel like a train track. Material life goes its way with all its disturbances, and a devotee life goes its way with all his tolerance of this being in this material world and carry on his life. But you know, he knows, he's conscious of what is going on there. Just like when Srila Prabhupada first came, this man challenged him. And she said, have you ever taken drugs and LSD? Why are you talking against it? He said, no, I have not, but look at all my disciples. They have done so, and you know, they can give evidence. And you know, an intelligent man learns by hearing, not learned by practical experience. That's first class intelligence. I don't have to do it to know that it's bad. You know, automatically one can know. And he has that knowledge. Well, okay, these things are bad. With all his entire life, he has never got involved with them, but he just knows. Yes, Prabhu, what's your good name?
Ricardo.
Ricardo.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. It was interesting, recently Mahatma Prabhu gave a seminar on forgiveness, and he mentioned exactly what you said, that it is very important to forget, to actually remember, because then you can learn from the previous experience. And he also mentioned that forgiveness has been the single thing that, aside from chanting Hare Krishna, has helped him advance and Krishna consciousness. He mentioned that so much energy goes towards resentment and repressing those feelings inside of ourselves. So I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying, and I am trying to apply it, but what is some advice you could give to help, you know, forgive?
Yeah, by taking association of devotees and being conscious of it, like what you're saying. Now you heard it once, you heard it twice, then it means that it's probably true. You know, so take association of devotees and always keep these things in the forefront and try to, you know, and try to discuss with some of your peers or other devotees. Okay, give me some more knowledge of these things and how I can develop. This is what association of devotees is all about. It's not a, a group of devotees. We're all devotees, so yeah, let's go and play volleyball. That's not what association of devotees are all about. Those are like-minded people. Devotees association is when we come together with each other to develop something spiritually, develop some divine qualities. Take advantage, which means that we have to be prepared to get our ego shattered. Because somebody's going to tell you, if you really want to hear it, that you've done something wrong here, let me help you to correct it. This is the way, and that person should do it with great humility also. So if those situations exist, then life can be very serious in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Madam Mohan Prabhu. Actually, Ms. Prabhu.
Another aspect is, if this makes me feel so bad when this situation happens, then I should make sure I don't do this to someone else. You know, so in other words, the lesson that one learns, that was why that took place. And then also one can think and go, Krishna, and also make sure that whatever makes us feel bad in our devotional service, we don't treat Krishna the same way. So that way we can transcend the whole material
situation
too.
Yeah, that's a high level of introspection. We should always introspect our activities. We should always, at every step, at everything we do, and whether it's be with our intimate relationship at home or distant relationship, this mentality should always be there, that we should always introspect what we say, how we say it, or when we make a mistake, then we can figure out, well, okay, I've acted today with all of my devotee for 40 years, but today I've acted in a way of ignorance or a way of passion. So let me try to correct that. And once we do that, then initially it's going to be like artificial, or one may say it's all sentimental. But it's a beginning stage. Once we see that activity, we recognize, like Srila Prabhupada said, the first thing, one has to recognize that he has a disease. If not, he won't go to the doctor to try to get a cure. So the first thing we have to try to recognize, we have a problem. Or we have to be open enough in our association that especially when close ones like your wife or husband, generally they're the last person you want to tell you, hey, you did something wrong, right? Because of, familiarity breeds contempt. But if we leave ourselves open to listen, like I'm having some relationship with one devotee, one Prabhupada's disciple. And one thing he and I are both learning from our transactions is how to be open and listen. Always listen more than we speak to the other party or to anyone else. Always be open. So anyway.
But just to make sense of the last thing I said is that if your sister would have thought, this feels bad when someone violates you by taking the gum out of my pocketbook, could always think, Krishna is giving me so many things. Do I ever take things from him? One would immediately see, yes, I do take things, and it makes me feel bad when someone takes something from me, so I shouldn't take anything from Krishna, because he also would, each of us, he owns everything. So that's referring to.
So that's really nice. That with every situation, that's how Srila Prabhupada says that one can see Krishna everywhere. Because for whatever situation one is in, if one sees it in relation to Krishna, or whatever happens, then that's Krishna conscious way of seeing things. Yes, Prabhu, what's your name?
Vishvambar.
For some reason, I always forget that, and I see you every day.
Vishvambar the fourth or something. I was wondering, I like the modes, I like reading about them, studying them, different modes, and I was wondering how much importance do you think should be given to the modes as Because there's in the Bhagavad Gita, here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, explanation and time and energy given towards understanding the modes. At the same time, I understand it's material, it's part of the material world. And I also feel like, in one sense, as a society, we don't know the modes that well. We operate from different places, and then aiming for transcendence. So I just, I'm curious what your take is and, on the importance of the modes and studying them and learning them or not.
If I understood you correctly, and in answer, that when one takes a Krishna consciousness, is pretty much trying to bring you on a spiritual platform. Okay. But background also is very important. Like Srila Prabhupada said, that every devotee should be a perfect gentleman and lady. So to be a perfect gentleman and lady means that we have to act in our material dealings, we have to act in a gentle and a mannerly way. So that's where these modes come in. That if we just act in a passionate way or so forth, then it's not going to be very beneficial. I actually remember there's one graphic story when I just joined this movement. Was like 17 years old. I still had my first job, and I just started actually. A privately owned company. This man was very rich, and he was kind of favorable. The one time I asked for a donation, I just asked for a little bit of money. I don't know, $5,000 or $10,000. And he said, Derek, are you nuts? That's my Carmen. He said, Derek, are you nuts? That a rich man like me, you're just asking for a little bit. Why don't you ask for $100,000? I said, okay, then please give. So he said, okay, he's going to consider to give something for the temple. So then 2 days after one devotee came, he was doing Sankirtan. And he came into this office. I don't want to commit any offense to anyone, but it's a story that I kind of remember. So this devotee came into the office. I was working there. He came in, with his dress, goti, kutu, shave, and so forth, and Sankirtan. And he came in and said, I want to see your boss, that I want to preach to him. I want to talk with him. So let's try to get him when he gets off the phone or whatever he's doing. So he waited for 10 minutes and then he said, no, we are devotees, we don't have time to wait on these materialists, that these are demons and we should be able to preach to them and let me just go in. And he became a little aggressive. The result of that, the man's son just said, hey, just get out of his office. He chased him out. So that's one thing. When I came home from work, we went to the temple. The temple was not far from my home. And we went there, and he came home and he was very upset about it. He said, we are devotees, they should learn to listen to us, that we know more than them. So I said, Prabhu, you know that you know more than them, but they don't know that. So a devotee should learn to be gentle, learn to be cultured, and just don't do things that are unfavorable. We have the right attitude to approach, then we're going to get the right result. I remember once I was pretty young too, and we were doing Sanskrit in a city, Georgetown. And I was doing Sanskrit, and behind me, Gutari Prabhu, we all know him. Here, Kari Bhakti's father. He was behind me doing Sankirtan. So we were doing, and I went and I approached this one man and tried to sell him a Bhagavad Gita. And he was very negative and he just pushed me away and saying, oh, you people like this, that, he doesn't want to hear anything. And I said, oh, and then I remember one of the offenses of preaching the faithless, that's what I was thinking. I said, okay, I'm not going to try to preach this man. I walked on. And lo and behold, 2 minutes after, Sabhatadi Prabhu came up, and a man took the Bhagavad Gita, he's opening the book, and he bought a few books of donation.
How did he do that?
And then I realized that I was the problem. It wasn't the man the problem. I didn't know how to present myself. I wasn't mature enough into presenting. So I wasn't like cultured enough to learn to tolerate and to learn to, you know, bring people. So the idea is basically that the body, you know, should learn to develop these qualities even when they act in the material world. Even when they act there, with whatever they have to function, because a devotee knows that when he's functioning in the material world is basically for his service to Krishna, not for anything else. That he's not doing this so he can become rich or whatever, but he's performing his duty as a devotee. He has obligations, you have to work, you have family to maintain, whatever. So we have to, sometimes we have to deal in the material world. But he doesn't get caught in the war, like Srila Prabhupada said, that devotee is in this world, but he's not of this world. So these modes, these qualities has to be there. It's important. That's, I think that's one of the bases of Srila Prabhupada saying that he had wanted to develop Varnashram Dharma. Is that correct? Because these things are basis of Varnashram system. What he gave is straight on the transcendental platform, but supporting systems is these modes, this Varnashram system, these different training. Like if you look back, from since, at least for me, like 35 years ago, when I first joined this movement to now, I saw so many different programs develop. Like initially I thought when I first came, like we were so naive when I first came to the movement. Like everyone said that, okay, we want to be so spiritual. At one day when my Guru Maharaj says, none of you knows to drive, none of you have a driver's license. Said no, then he said, why don't you go and take a driver's license? And the other says, oh, driver's license, then you're going to be in Maya for driving. That was like the concept. Okay, if you get a driver's license, you're in total Maya. So, but that was a very, very, you know, like low level of thinking, you know, not know that we can use this in Krishna service. So these qualities, we learn to develop, learn to be gentlemen in our activities in this world, and within our heart, we have something higher. With all we might be mingling and tangling, but these qualities are very, very important. If we act in an ignorant way, we would not do ourselves any good, nor would we do this movement any good. You know, we would set bad examples. Srila Prabhupada said we should all be ambassadors of this movement. You know, you ever figure out one day you walk in the store, and then you saw someone with their hair all disheveled, and their clothes are all rugged, and say, oh, that looks bad. And then think, wait a minute, look at my own hair, you know, it's not even combed, or my own clothes is dirty. So you kind of reflect, you know, like that. So that's how we can help ourselves to keep the basis. Not sure if that explains. Anyway, thank you very much. Gone over time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.